1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A new study of American women and their health has some surprising findings. ABC's Daria Albinger with the story.
American women live an average of 80 years. That's 5 years less compared to 13 other high-income nations analyzed in a study by the Commonwealth Fund. It found women in the U.S. are more likely to take multiple prescriptions on a regular basis and to have the highest rates of mental health and social needs. The disparities are even greater among women of color. The U.S. is also the only country in the study with a considerable amount of uninsured women. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The government said inflation rose just 0.2% in July, the year-to-year date under 3% for the first time since early in the Biden presidency. Cisco Systems announced it plans to lay off another 7% of its workforce, or about 5,900 jobs. It cut 4,000 in February. This is ABC News. In Detroit,
you sleep at home in your bed, not in court.
That is Judge Kenneth King admonishing a 15-year-old girl who fell asleep in his court during a summer program field trip.
County executive.
I'm thinking maybe she needs to go to the juvenile detention facility. You do understand we have a jail for kids.
The judge had the girl handcuffed and clothed in a jail uniform. Unbeknownst to the judge, the teen and mom, Latoria Hill, are between permanent residences right now.
The fact that he was talking about you go home and get in your bed. How do you know my baby got a home? How do you know my baby got a bed, her own bed that she could sleep in? She don't have that right now. So she was tired.
The judge said it was his own version of that old documentary, Scared Straight. Ms. Hill not buying it.
You didn't scare nobody straight. You made a parent upset. You scared my child. She was nervous, didn't even know how to act. She'd never been inside no courtroom.
Richard Cantu, ABC.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah. What would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on this Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk about the Pabst Mansion in Milwaukee. Also, all things sports with Paul Noonan and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a chance of scattered thunderstorms today, tonight, into tomorrow, and there could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch to an inch or more at times. Our high today, 73. It will be a little breezy today, 66 tonight, 75 tomorrow. The weekend looking good with sunshine and highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
On our next show, Todd is joined by Sean Hannish and Kelly Call, creators of Just a Bit Outside, a brand new documentary about the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers run at the World Series. Tune in for your chance to win some tickets.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Not exactly the ideal day for the wrap-up of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days up in Chippewa County. Welcome in, everybody. It is a Thursday. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonk, and I'll tell you what, if you were worried about it being a little dry around the state, well, guess what? We get a little bit of rain today. Honestly, for most of the state of Wisconsin, it's not going to be real measurable. The exception, probably northwest Wisconsin, right around Tent City. They are calling for up to 3/4 of an inch of rain today, and more importantly, high winds. Remember, we call it Tent City for a reason. Stu Micker, ag meteorologist, has our weather details. Rain is on the way for most of us, but in southern Wisconsin, it's really only about 1/4 of an inch of rain that we're expecting, and winds are not supposed to be an issue. Daytime highs today are expected to be probably in the mid to upper 70s, so pretty comfortable overall. Tomorrow, another chance rain in the forecast in the morning, and then maybe some showers developing later on Friday afternoon. Saturday, 30% chance of showers or thunderstorms after 1 o'clock. So the morning looks good. We'll paint some more of those weather details together in just a little bit. Hey, big announcement coming up today from the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association. They have got 4 farms in different geographic areas in Wisconsin that are kind of trying to draw attention to the draft headed to Green Bay 2025. We're going to have a little bit of our conversation with Sheila Everhart, Executive Director of WATA, Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association, and find out about that. Cody Koster, Broker Analyst with EverAg, is also joining us to spend some time with us on a Thursday.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
You hear from them from time to time, but believe me, they're busy every day of the week. Our friends at the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agencies. Now, I know that early on it was all about what acres did you get planted, what acres didn't you, what else is going on? Gene Schrieffer is the Executive Director of Wisconsin's Farm Service Agency offices and joins us now. So, yeah, it's been kind of one of those push-pull situations, Gene. Some areas of the state did pretty well as far as a normal spring planting. Others have not. And your office have kind of been mobilized to document those stories, right?
Yeah, that's been the change from last year. We were dealing with no rain. Now we've got enough. We're about ready to say, okay, stop. A lot of areas of the state have some prevent plant acres, or they got planted and they couldn't get in and spray or wet enough that it killed the crop. We've got multiple physical loss notifications, which occurs when there's a flooding event or a tornado that's caused some damage to physical structures on farms, that if you're in an area that was qualified for that, it enables the farmer to get some low-interest loans to help get them back on their feet. So, yeah, 180-degree difference in weather. We are starting to notice a little dryness. You know, I guess you get a little gun-shy the year after a drought, but mainly it was too wet through spring and early part of summer.
Right, and this is an evolutionary story that can change on a regular basis, and that's one of the points you want to make. Keep checking back with your FSA office on where you stand on those declarations.
Sure. If you've been affected, you've gotten some of these big storms, whatever the number is, 5 inches, 6 inches, 7 inches, or flooding, or tornadoes come through, check with your local office and see if a declaration has been made. It's not immediate right after the event. We have to file some, forms, the degree of the damage, the extent, and that those all get reviewed, and then hopefully it qualifies a county for that administrator's physical loss notification.
So theoretically, because we haven't really begun the full harvest, some of those declarations, could they still be coming yet this fall?
I am expecting, we've got many in the system, in the works. We should still see a few more, I think. We've been getting these declarations since, I think our earliest one, we had a tornado in the southern part of the state in February, and that impacted two counties. And then since then, we've had, these rainstorms and flooding and et cetera.
Yeah, Gene Schrieffer's along with us. If you're just joining us, he's the executive director of the Wisconsin Farm Service Agency offices through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And one of the reasons I reached out to Gene is there's been a lot of conversation about changing some of the farm loans available to producers. And this kind of ties in with these declarations, doesn't it, Gene?
It could tie in, Pam. This is done separately, not as an outcome of these emergency declarations. These are standard direct loans or guaranteed loans, and it's a change in our process of how we interact with the borrower. And our goal has been to make FSA much more borrower-focused and helping the producer to succeed. If we make a loan and our repayments to get it done a timeline that we want or you want, sometimes we end up taking a large portion of that producer's income to repay the loan, which means there's less dollars available for other expenses on the farm. And it's really the difference between surviving on the farm versus thriving. And we want to help those farms thrive. That's good for rural economies. If we have a thriving farm, our sons and daughters see how mom and dad are doing, and they say, there's an opportunity here. So it's a change in mindset. We've already made other changes at FSA prior to this newest rule change fits and dovetails into this very well. We've simplified the loan application from 29 pages down to 13 pages. We're doing more online. There's an online loan application tool to help you understand what the loan possibilities are, plus the application itself is online. And we can also do payments when we do have a loan online. So we're simplifying a lot of things. But the big changes with this current rule change, And I want to make sure people understand that this doesn't go into effect until the end of September. The 25th of September is when this is designated to take effect. So it's not currently what we are doing. We're still under the old policy, but this is where we're heading. And we can make the repayment schedule much more flexible than it is. So if a borrower wants to think about setting dollars aside for a capital investment to expand the farm or expand something on the farm, if they'd like to contribute to a retirement fund or an education fund or, heaven forbid, have health care, we should be able to include those types of costs in that farm budget and then make the repayment system flexible enough to accommodate those. And that's one of the things that this rule change does. When we look back at, securing capital, we've had a standard of having 150% of collateral. So we need more collateral than the actual loan amount. But when we reviewed what was actually working, we can measure that 125% collateral requirement is going to protect all of our interests and all of the taxpayers' interests that they're investing in farms that are beginning or continuing operations. So we are lowering that from 150 down to 125%, which then frees up capital for some of those other investments that might be possible at the farm.
Gene, how many inquiries are you getting of this type? I mean, there was a time when we really were promoting this as a tool for beginning farmers, but what's your sense on inquiries of this service even before these changes go into effect?
Well, we have seen an uptick in loan inquiries this year prior to these changes, and it's a symptom, an outcome of current farm economics. Grain prices are low, milk prices are low, Beef prices have been solid, but are seem to be moderating a little bit here. So borrowers are more active with FSA and looking at loans. And this is I'm going to give credit to Zach Ducheneau, the head of the Farm Service Agency nationwide. This has been a passion project of listening to farmers, and I've heard it from farmers as I've traveled around of how difficult it can be working with FSA and how soon people like to get out of FSA and go to commercial credit because of our very tight and stringent requirements. And so, again, it's this idea of focusing more on the borrower, making it more friendly, more usable, and looking at what it will take to have them succeed. So listening and then enacting changes based on those conversations.
Right now, Gene, a lot of us are paying attention to interest rates and obviously commodity prices. Is there anything else being adjusted in those farm loan programs that you alluded to beginning at the end of September that kind of reflect some of that interest in interest rates and tough commodity prices?
Sure. The third major leg of this is creating a distressed borrower. It's a set-aside program, right? We can't all forecast what unexpected expenses come up. Maybe it's weather, maybe it's an accident, who knows. But what this does is it enables a borrower to defer one annual loan payment at a reduced interest rate so that they can recover from this unexpected expense and stay on their feet and not fall behind on their payments. So these are the three things that we think will move us in a very better, much more positive direction for farm loans.
Yeah, definitely got to be welcome changes to the folks that are listening, that's for sure. Thanks, Gene. Gene Schrieffer along with us. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Farm Service Agency offices through the U.S. Department of Agriculture all across the state. Again, I remind you, he pointed out that these changes in the farm loan opportunities not coming until towards the end of September, but a great opportunity for you to strike up a conversation with your county office today. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our series on keeping our presidential election from being overturned by bad actors explained how the new Electoral Count Reform Act clarifies federal and state rules. But we've also learned how the blocking of election certification by rogue county election boards is still a possibility. A new report recommends ways of stopping those disruptions. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW, issued a report August 13th outlining the threat of partisan actors using their positions on county election boards to block certification. This election, U.S. constitutional and statutory deadlines require certification by December 11th. By that date, all recounts and litigation must be complete. CREW's report states, state laws make it clear that certification is non-discretionary. It is not an opportunity for county officials to politically grandstand, lodge protest votes against election practices they dislike, or investigate suspected voter fraud. The organization recommends that state officials communicate now to county election officials, making their duties clear and detailing the penalties for non-compliance. States should also be prepared to request emergency orders by the state Supreme Court, having state personnel to step in and removing obstructionist county officials if necessary. What if state officials won't certify the election? More on that tomorrow. The CREW report is linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So...
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a throwback Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're still celebrating the glorious blue victory in the partisan primary. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Chippewa County, I am a little concerned. I see that the wind is as big an issue as the rain that we've got coming through, huh?
You're right. I don't know that rain is a real big deal. I don't expect anybody to be flooded out except maybe some strange location. But winds today out of the south probably picking up to 25 and 30 mile per hour gusts in Tent City. That's not great news.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And you know, field demonstrations, they've got a hot air balloon that they've been giving people rides. I think I might pass on that one from the sounds of it.
Yeah, you don't know quite sure where you're going to end up. Well, let's see, winds out of the south. Yeah, you could be heading up toward Hayward or somewhere.
All right, so let's get serious about this, though. Like you said, I'm already hearing from our talk texters. David in Burlington said, you know, about 3/100ths in the past 24 hours time. I've got my friend up in Alto. He said it's so little you can about count the drops. Is that going to change?
That's going to change. I've also got about 5/100ths of an inch at La Crosse, and I saw Mauston somewhere around that 3 to 5/100ths of an inch range. But there's more rain out to the west, heavier rain in the south as well. Southwest of Madison, some heavier rain this morning. And out in that eastern part of Minnesota, just pushing through the Twin Cities, heading into Rochester. That's all going to move toward Wisconsin. Low pressure is still trying to push up toward far northwest Wisconsin from the Dakotas. A warm front urging up into parts of central Iowa, western Illinois, and into south central Minnesota. As that low tries to pull off to our north, as that frontal boundary starts to move in, rain becomes more of a likelihood. Some showers and storms this morning. Expect redevelopment here mid and late afternoon when there may be some more rain. Overall, I'm still going to stand at that up to a half, maybe an inch in some areas. Kind of scattered. We're probably not all going to have the same amount of rain, but we know how that works in summer. Another thing is temperatures do cool down behind this system for Friday, nothing drastic, and then warm it up slowly in the weekend. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
Back to school. Whether you're jumping on a yellow school bus or put that backpack on headed to campus, Bavaria Sausage is thinking about you. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, want to keep it simple? Do all your shopping online. BavariaSausage.com. There's a brand new website in development, so check back often and see what they've got. I know what they've got right now, some really healthy snacks that can be included in those lunch boxes or tucked into that backpack for studying enjoyment. Those Lawn Yoggers, new flavors available all the time. And listen, if you're one of the folks dropping the kids off, you want to make life a little simpler, one brand new product that's available at the Fitchburg location, some pre-cut chicken breasts. It's all about an evolving menu that they're working on at Bavaria Sausage. So like I said, check back often at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, if you're in the area, or online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. BavariaSausage.com. Right. Tell them the Farm Babe sent you.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast. Is this kind of a 24-hour thing, or are we starting a new pattern we have to get used to?
No, just a couple of waves trying to build through today. And, of course, it's a mostly cloudy day. Showers, some storms developing this morning, some redevelopment mid and late afternoon most places. I'll expect those temperatures in the upper 70s. I'd say La Crosse area right along the river, maybe up around 80 or so today. And winds out of the south, 5 to 15, some gusts up near 25 and 30. A chance of a shower or a storm yet into the nighttime, mostly cloudy overnight. Mid-60s. We don't cool a great deal. The south wind's still out there 5 to 15 and gusty. And then there's Friday becoming partly sunny. Still a slight chance of a shower or a storm lingering in the morning, maybe popping up late afternoon. Other places, upper 70s. And by Saturday, Pam, partly sunny. Just a slight chance of a shower in the afternoon and upper 70s for highs.
Okay. You know, it's so long as we don't have a lot of a breeze, upper 70s is not a bad way to spend a day.
No, not bad. A little breeze, you know, 5 to 10. That'll just make it nice.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, see what we end up with.
All right, we'll see you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your weather details, and I'm looking for details from you. Our talk text line is busy. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Let me know what your weather observations are this morning. You planning up? Planning on going up to Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. We want to hear from you. Corn mazes coming up.
This is the Midwest.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It may be one of the prettiest fair sites in the state, and Brown County has hosted its historic fair along the riverfront in West De Pere for more than 165 years. The theme is a little something for everyone, and they're not kidding. There's a demolition derby, a professional rodeo competition, horse, truck, and tractor pulls, special shows just for the kids, nightly live music, exhibits including everything from animals to antiques, photography to woodworking, rooster crowing contest, games, rides, homemade wine and beer judging, and food. Lots of food. Oh, your admission price, including parking, rides, and all the events. How about that? Fairgrounds open at 8 a.m. Carnival area gets going after 11, 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. It all shuts down at 10:30, 11:30 on weekend nights. The Brown County Fair runs Wednesday, August 14th through Sunday, August 18th. Enjoy. And until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A new study of American women and their health has some surprising findings. ABC's Daria Albinger with the story.
American women live an average of 80 years. That's 5 years less compared to 13 other high-income nations analyzed in a study by the Commonwealth Fund. It found women in the U.S. are more likely to take multiple prescriptions on a regular basis and to have the highest rates of mental health and social needs. The disparities are even greater among women of color. The U.S. is also the only country in the study with a considerable amount of uninsured women. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The government said inflation rose just 0.2% in July, the year-to-year date under 3% for the first time since early in the Biden presidency. Cisco Systems announced it plans to lay off another 7% of its workforce, or about 5,900 jobs. It cut 4,000 in February. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Voter turnout Tuesday in Wisconsin's fastest-growing county was 45%. That's the highest for a fall primary in Dane County in 40 years. Democrat Kelda Royes represents Madison in the state Senate.
You know, Wisconsin is always a swing state. It is on a knife's edge. So I don't think that anybody should be feeling overconfident, but I do think that all the bets point to the election trending blue.
Turnout in Wisconsin's other big blue county, Milwaukee County, was 33%. 16 Republican state lawmakers won their primaries easily Tuesday. The closest races are won by Paul Tittle, who took nearly 60% of the vote, and Chaz Green and Karen Hurd, who won 57%. WisPolitics reports insiders expected more of an anti-incumbent wave. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Badgers name a starting quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Phil Longo, the Wisconsin Badgers offensive coordinator, was asked, so who's the new starting quarterback? Is it Braden Locke or the transfer from Miami, Tyler Van Dyke?
We have named Tyler Van Dyke our starter. I will tell you that Braden Locke, last year it was Tanner Mordecai, and the number two was Braden Locke. This year it's Tyler Van Dyke, and we really see Braden Locke. I've mentioned to you in the past how much better he's gotten this year. That's how well Braden has done here in camp. But right, as of right now, Tyler Van Dyke is our starter.
NFL, the Packers flying to Denver for a joint practice against the Broncos tomorrow. Sunday night, the starting quarterback will not be Jordan Love. It'll be backup Sean Clifford.
I do think that when the lights come on, it's a little bit different for me. I don't know. It's just an excitement level. I do like to kind of think of myself as a gamer in a way.
Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up their four-game series with the Dodgers. The crew winning last night, 5-4, thanks to closer Devin Williams. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by one of the most reasonable men in Wisconsin politics, Tom Paulsiewicz. We'll talk about Tim Walz, inflation. We'll talk about it all. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have a chance of scattered thunderstorms today, tonight, into tomorrow, and there could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch to an inch or more at times. Our high today, 73. It will be a little breezy today, 66 tonight, 75 tomorrow. The weekend looking good with sunshine and highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick update about fun on the cheap. Board games. There's a bunch of new stuff out there that's a cheap way for families to have fun. Here are a few of my new favorites. Wavelength is a party game. It's a spin on charades or Pictionary. You predict your partner's response to something. It's fun, it's smart, and we always end up laughing and laughing. And then there's Five Crowns. It's a great card game for a family of all ages. It's cheap to buy, and it's easy to learn. It's like Rummy, but with more suits. And last but not least, my favorite game is Wingspan. It's a competitive game about bird watching, which I love on so many levels, and my kid tolerates with me on special occasions. And good news, you can often try before you buy, because sometimes local libraries have games you can check out. Head over to workmoney.org for more tips. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
They're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources. Dump those flower pots out. Don't let dog or kitty pools sit. Fill them when you're going to use them and then dump them out. Clean the gutters. Reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original
person.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're gonna get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5-year-old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Done. I'm glad you brought that in. All right, you have a good day. See you later, brother.
Not exactly an ideal day to wrap up Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Remember that show runs 9 until 4 today at the Country Music Grounds in Cadott. They do have some heavy weather that could be rolling across Tent City, though. So if you're planning on making the trip up, you might want to be aware of any weather updates. Now, the best way to do that, probably on their Facebook page, Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, glad to be along with you. Don't forget, Cody Koster, broker analyst with Ever Ag, is on the way with an update on what's influencing our markets this morning. He'll join us in just a little bit. So today is the 15th day of August. What can I tell you? Well, speaking of big events, on this day back in 1969, the Woodstock Music and Art Fair opened its doors to spectators and participants. It was iconic. I'm sure that if you've had anybody in your family that was there, you've heard the story time and time again. It ultimately became known as Woodstock, Bethel, New York, 600-acre farm owned by farmer Max B. Yasger. In fact, the last time I was in New York State for a farm tour, we were right by that location. It gathered together over 400,000 people from across the United States. They consider it a key moment in the anti-establishment movement that was gaining popularity in the United States. Woodstock opens its gates on this day back in 1969. Let's see. Happy birthday today to actor Ben Affleck. He's 52 years young. And actress Jennifer Lawrence. She is 34. And now you know. Well, we're happy to tell you this morning, we can share with you now details of a big event for the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association. We all know that the draft is coming to Green Bay, April of 2025. And to try to build excitement, make sure people recognize all the farm families and agriculture venues on the way to Green Bay, beginning in September, 4 different corn mazes in Wisconsin on routes on your way to Green Bay are going to feature a draft theme. I talked about it yesterday with Sheila Everhart, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Agriculture Tourism Association. She's going to explain a little bit more about those mazes and what they want to accomplish.
Actually, there are 4. And like I mentioned, they are Farm Bureau members, Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation members, and Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association members, and they were selected based on their locale. The locale for these farms are Chilton, Wisconsin, Ripon, Wisconsin, Bondwell, Wisconsin, and the Stevens Point, Plover, Wisconsin area.
And they all have designed, this was something they had to think about before September, obviously. They all designed something with a little bit of a football flavor to it. We've got pictures up at Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, MidwestFarmReport.com, and Midwest Farm Report on Facebook, as well as the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association Facebook feed, too. Now, let's talk a little bit about what happened behind the scenes. You mentioned 2 years ago this conversation started. Although it may seem like a fantastic idea to us, Sheila, you had to work through an awful lot of conversations to allow this to happen on a broader scale.
Yes, and everything we do has to be pre-approved. So there, when you work with multiple organizations, you have to make sure that you are speaking in the right verbiage, that you're not stepping on anyone's toes, and we're celebrating Wisconsin.
And that is definitely a unifying factor for this. Again, Sheila Everhart in studio with us. Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association announcing that four of our Wisconsin corn mazes have adopted a draft phrase or theme for their corn mazes, and it's all to help build excitement for the draft 2025. And you heard the four key locations, and they are going to be opening as soon as September 7th for you to enjoy. Now, the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association as a group, Sheila, is trying to get everybody to go out and visit a corn maze, not just these four.
That's absolutely right, because Wisconsin has the best corn mazes in the Midwest, in the entire Midwest. So we want our friends from the Chicago area, Minnesota area, Minneapolis, Indiana, Ohio, come to Wisconsin and see our fabulous corn mazes. We have hundreds of them. So we are having the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association Corn Maze Challenge. Visit a Wisconsin corn maze this fall between September 19th and October 31st for a chance to win prizes. So our first one that we're going to feature is Polly's Pumpkin Patch in Chilton, Wisconsin. It's a 17-acre maze, and it says draft pick is Polly's. At Polly's Pumpkin Patch, they have other on-farm features in the field of bright sunflowers, pumpkin patch, delicious food, tractor rides, and more. This is a great way for Polly and her husband, Gary, to help celebrate our Wisconsin home team in Green Bay, the Packers.
Excellent. So that's one of four. There's another one that really caught my attention visually. That's up in the Stevens Point Plover area.
The Feltz Dairy Farm is located in Portage County, a 12-acre maze that will feature Draft 2025 Green Bay. The Feltz Maze will celebrate opening day on September 21st. What I love about going up to the Feltz Dairy Store is Jake makes the best, the absolutely best on-farm cheese curds in all of that area.
Oh, that's a challenge to be accepted for sure. Yeah, and the Feltz Dairy Farm folks are used to handling kids and families, and they've got all kinds of different entertainment there. Then closer towards the Mecca of Green Bay, Porter's Patch, just down the road in Bondiwell, they're going to see a lot of traffic not only now, Sheila, but also, I'm sure, come April of 2025.
Absolutely. I just checked that, and they're a short 25 miles right out of sight of Green Bay, right to the northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just checked that out. So they're very excited because, you know, Porter's Patch in April, they will have some of their produce available, and maybe some of their, depending on the weather, some of their berries might be available too. But Troy and his family are doing an amazing job up there in Bondiwell. And, you know, then Pam, if we travel to the Ripon, Wisconsin area, we have a farm called Petals and Plows Greenhouse. They have an 18-acre corn maze that will feature Draft 2025 Green Bay. They also offer plants and trees for sale, as well as a playground equipment, a gravity box, and a lot of other things. Their maze is opening September 7th, but they're having a big fall bash and customer appreciation corn roast to be held on September 14th.
Sheila Everhart, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association. Again, those four corn mazes featuring a draft theme opening beginning September 7th. More markets in just a moment.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Now is not the time for Wisconsin farmers to relax when it comes to monitoring their fields for insects and nutrient needs. Steve Bailey, market manager for Helena Agri in Monroe, says they're watching a lot of different elements that could impact your outcome.
You've probably heard, or many have heard, there's a little bit of tar spots speckled in our trade area. It's not widespread that I've found, but we have found a few spots of it. So trying to keep an eye on that, looking at bugs and beans, and then thinking about soil sampling for the months to come here as the crop gets off. Obviously, the wheat's off already, so if anybody needs that sampled, we can get that done. And then silage is probably about a month out, maybe a little bit more, depending on what our weather looks like for the next 30 days. But kind of gearing up for fall, trying to see what we're taking off for yields, and then correlate it back to what do we need to put back on the fields.
Steve Bailey, market manager for Helena Agri. He's in Monroe. You can find him all online, helenaagri.com.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit DairyGirlNetwork.com. Registration deadline is October 8th.
Just a real quick update on markets before we talk with Cody Koster, broker analyst with EverAg. Yesterday, as far as dairy was concerned, barrel cheese gained a half a cent to 216 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was up 0.75 cents, 202 and 0.75, while AA butter stood still. This morning in Chicago, we've got September Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 2 right now, 21.28 a hundredweight. Currently, December corn's up a penny and a half, 4.02. November beans are up 6 at 9.74 in the September wheat currently 4 cents higher, 5.39 a bushel. Up next, Cody Koster, broker analyst with EverAg, giving us an update on what's influencing those markets on a Thursday. Stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler. Now, I was involved in politics for 30-plus years. I've never seen anything in the state of Wisconsin like I saw in Eau Claire last week. 2 miles away from the venue, and there were cars parked alongside the road.
It's not just cities. It's rural places and small towns and medium-sized towns. It's everything. Voters realize in this moment they have the power to shape history.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Douglas Darby and Jacob Jansen give us an update on their Turning the Page project.
And Michael Friedman from Simple Life Hospitality is in for our very first NFL draft update. Join us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
In Michigan to talk about cheese. Boy, that's a fun conversation to have after what we saw earlier this week, Cody. Pretty big rally on both barrel and block. Now you say it's not just about our cheese, it's about cheese everywhere else too.
Yeah, if we look at our cheese, Pam, this is going to be the third day in a row where the block barrel average is above $2. And the significance of that is the last time we have seen this was beginning of May of this year. And on the fourth day, we completely crashed in price and kind of, you know, drifted about a dollar lower on the average. So it's going to be a big day today and tomorrow. If we can hold this $2 average for the whole week, it's going to be the first time since pretty much the end of 2023 that we're going to have a full week in the $2 range in cheese. And technically speaking, that's going to be a little bit more of a bullish sentiment going forward. If we look at cheese prices specifically in the EU this week, they were up to about a $2.05 equivalent, which is up about 6 cents from last week. And the butter price in the EU is trading at about a $3.59 per pound average. Now, that's at about 80% fat, which we can kind of equate that back to our butter price, but that makes us still the lower butter price in the world right now.
But will they ever allow our butter into the EU market?
Well, I think that's, you know, that's the biggest question is how many export orders for butter do we technically see? Not very many. If you get this price discrepancy of 50 to 60 cents, you might start seeing a little bit more. But I think on the butter side, the exports just don't generically happen. Cheese happens obviously a lot more than people really want to talk about. And if we can keep this price at $2 and see the EU on global dairy trade next Tuesday raise higher, we might be able to get some of those exports booked a little bit farther out, especially with the tight supply that we have seen recently. I mean, you want to talk about heat and heifer shortages and everything else that's happening in the country. The milk supply right now is just, it's very tight no matter who you talk to.
Cody Koester joining us live this morning from his Michigan office. He's one of the broker analysts with EverAg. You can find them online, ever.ag. Cody, let's talk a little bit about that. World Ag Supply Demand Report came out last week, and I noticed that they do project both Class 3 and Class 4 milk prices 2025 are going to be higher, and you noted it. It's because our cows just are not responding with this heat, and we don't see any massive flux of milk coming in. You talked about holding that $2 cheese range. Is that the only thing justifying trying to keep that price in play?
I mean, depending on who you talk to, it's not the demand function. The demand is just quote unquote, not there from different processors that are talked to. It's the supply right now that is keeping this price bolstered above $2. It's the heifer shortage. It's the cow inventory. It's the heat that's happened out west, which is kind of starting to subside right now, right? It's been hot out in California, Idaho. It's been hot in Texas, New Mexico. Even the Midwest the past couple weeks has been very hot and muggy. That's starting to subside a little bit. And I think the milk will start flowing a little bit more, but the fact that the amount of animals are just not there has really started to resonate throughout the whole industry. And folks are starting to look at that going forward into 2025, saying we may have more of a supply issue than we have a demand issue. And if that outweighs demand, then the price should, I say should, stay above $2 cheese. But I mean, honestly, in everyone's mind, $2 cheese is kind of like $4 corn, where it's very psychological. To break that line and stay above that $2 cheese is going to be massive for us moving forward for the next couple months.
Let me ask you, there's been some expansion, new dairy plants coming online. I'm thinking of the one that's down in Kansas. How are they faring with this tight milk supply and what's going on in the marketplace?
I think right now there's going to be more people that are a little bit worried about where the milk is going to come from. And if you look at some of these plants that are coming to the Midwest, you even look at Kansas, and they're going to have to pull from, in my opinion, a Class 4 source. What is that going to do for Class 4 prices? I think it's going to keep it elevated. If they cannot find the cows or they cannot find the milk flow to go into the cheese plant that they naturally would have, they're going to have to pull it from a butter churn, which is going to keep Class 4 higher and I think still keep Class 3 higher, but they're going to get that milk somehow. It just depends on where they are going to pull it from. And right now it's looking like it's going to come from the butter churns.
Interesting. Now let's talk back on cheese, since so much of my audience is all about cheese, cheese, cheese. We have, you and I were talking off air. We don't know that we've gotten our holiday buys in the marketplace just yet. All those cheese platters, cheese boxes, hey?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we haven't really seen that happen just yet. Generically, we'll see it start happening going into September, because they have to get everything secured by October, especially for the Thanksgiving holiday. But so far, I mean, I think everyone's kind of been waiting on the back of their heels, thinking the price might drop and they might be able to secure it a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. And so far, it hasn't really happened. It's been steady to higher for the past couple of days. Now we'll have a little bit of a drop here and there, but it's not like we've gone back down to $1.75 cheese where everyone would potentially be a buyer with where prices are for the rest of the world. Yeah. Now that we're kind of hovering this $2 price, folks are going to get a little bit more nervous going forward.
Interesting. Well, we will watch the next 24 hours for sure. That's no doubt. Thanks, Cody. Appreciate it. Have a good day in Michigan.
All right. Thank you.
Cody Koster joining us live on a Thursday morning. Again, one of the broker analysts we lean on with EverAg. You can find them online, ever.ag, and they are all about risk management. Catch up with you tomorrow morning. Get those rainfall reports to me.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
If the critique, if the beef of Tim Walz is that he spent money on children, on what they needed, whether that be universal meals or whether that be, you know, record amounts for a state to invest in early childhood development, I am like, man, you are critiquing this guy and making him even more my hero.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What's behind the economic slowdown in much of the agribusiness sector? Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
If farmers are not making money, they aren't spending money. This explains sizable layoffs by machinery makers like John Deere and Kinze. Many ag company quarterly reports show drops in sales and net income. Purdue University ag economist Jim Minter.
There's a cycle, and clearly coming off of those down years in that roughly 14, 15, up through about 2019, people held back on making those investments. When we had the positive years, they jumped on it and made some significant investments.
Minter says the pullback affects machinery dealers as well.
They're pointing to high dealer inventories, and boy, you can really see it as you drive around the countryside and look at those inventories at all the major manufacturers' dealerships. Those inventories are clearly burgeoning, and it's a big difference compared to what we saw roughly 3 years ago.
Mintert's colleague, Michael Langemeyer.
We're looking at fairly weak cash flow in 2024. That's certainly not positive. The other thing, though, is we bought quite a bit of machinery in 21, 22, and 23 when we had some pretty good cash flows, and so there may not be quite as much need to replace the equipment as there was maybe in 21 and 22.
Langemeyer added that farmers surveyed by Purdue indicate a much higher interest in used machinery versus new. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk about the Pabst Mansion in Milwaukee. Also, all things sports with Paul Noonan and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It may be one of the prettiest fair sites in the state, and Brown County has hosted its historic fair along the riverfront in West De Pere for more than 165 years. The theme is a little something for everyone, and they're not kidding. There's a demolition derby, a professional rodeo competition, horse, truck, and tractor pulls, special shows just for the kids, nightly live music, exhibits including everything from animals to antiques, photography to woodworking, rooster crowing contest, games, rides, homemade wine and beer judging, and food. Lots of food. Oh, your admission price, including parking, rides, and all the events. How about that? Fairgrounds open at 8 a.m. Carnival area gets going after 11, 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. It all shuts down at 10:30, 11:30 on weekend nights. The Brown County Fair runs Wednesday, August 14th through Sunday, August 18th. Enjoy. And until next time, I'm Terry Barr. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Gaza Health